Next item is conditional use number 1845, Rick Banning.
Copy.
Okay. And Mr. Johnson, by my comments, I didn't mean to limit the issue to a number. There could be other issues that you want to address, and please feel free to.
Well, I think we all share the same sentiments in terms of the brownfield reclamation as well as the need for the APRA program to provide affordable rental units for residents of Sussex County, because it is designed for folks that have lived here, for at least a year, as I understand it. So I think on those issues, we agree. I think we all agree on the issue of providing protection for the neighboring property owners. I think we all agree that there's a need to preserve the Native American burial site, as well as making sure that the Israel United Methodist Church Cemetery is properly defined. Because I believe there was, in some of the voluminous materials we had available to us, there was discussion about perhaps some unmarked graves there as well. So I think we all, on all those points, my sense is we all agree on that. I mean, it's from a land use standpoint to reclaim this land and to resolve the issues of whatever hazardous materials may be there or whatever environmental issues that have come as a result of what was an approved dump. I mean, this is not necessarily an illegal dump that someone came along. Back in those days, that was what Denrec allowed, and every town had their dump, and now we're, some of us are having to pay the price for those environmental issues that are a result of that. And here we have an opportunity perhaps to resolve that, although I want to remind the commission that it's very clear in all the Denrec materials there may not be money available. Just because it qualifies as a brownfield, and just because it, for certification and is eligible for grant funding, doesn't mean the dollars will be there.
I understand that, and I don't think that matters to this group.
No.
That site does not get developed if it doesn't get cleaned up, because that's the whole reason. I mean,
absolutely.
For me, that's the only reason for increasing the density, is to get the place cleaned up and to get some affordable housing in the neighborhood. And frankly, if it weren't for those two items, I would say zoned, plan as zoned,
Yeah.
But by all means, if the money's not available and it doesn't happen, then the project doesn't happen. It stays, as far as I'm concerned, it stays the way it is.
Unless the developer chooses to proceed ahead at their own expense.
Well, yeah, sure. I mean, yeah. I mean,
they
can certainly pay.
To do
yeah.
It.
Oh, yeah. All I'm saying is that if anything gets built there, the site gets cleaned up first. That's got to be the first order of business. And if the if there are taxpayer supported programs that will assist them in doing that, then that's what that money's there for. If there's not, and they can't write the check themselves, well, it's going to sit there.
Well, and when it comes to time for the density issue, what I didn't hear in a public hearing, and I did not see in any of the written material that was submitted to us, was what number was needed in order to make this project work. All I saw was a request for a number. I didn't see a justification or basis for the number of units that were being requested. There was nothing that I'm aware of that says we need to have X number of units in order to make this a go. Whether I overlooked something in the voluminous materials, believe me, I've spent many an hour reviewing it, and I've not seen anything that even was a basis for the number of units or the number of units per acre or what could actually make this happen. So, is it incumbent upon us to come up with that number? I don't think so. I mean, it's incumbent upon us to make a recommendation as to what we think is a appropriate density for this project, given its location, given its surroundings, and the existing zoning on the neighboring properties. And that's how I, basically how I arrived at mine. And granted, even the number I came up with is higher than the surrounding properties. You know, because when you throw in the 20% bonus density that I included in that, that still came out with 5.24 units per acre. Is that a magical number to make it work? I don't know. But that's where I'm. But I think all the other points we certainly agree.
So we are down to a number.
Down to a number.
Now we're down to a
down
number.
Down to a number.
Okay. Who else? Who else wants to weigh in?
If someone has a motion, then probably the first thing you should do once the motion is read is to not second, but to discuss the number, most likely.
That's true.
What's going to happen. That seems to be the big issue question.
Okay. Well, Mr. Chairman, based on that, I have a motion.
All right, so let's hear it.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we recommend approval of conditional use 1845 for Rick Banning for multifamily rental apartments based upon the record made at the public hearing and for the following reasons. The property is in an area where commercial uses and other residential development has occurred, including townhouse, multifamily, and single-family developments. The project is consistent with those developments and will provide a transition between the C1 and commercial uses along Route 1 and the Plantations Road area. Nearby subdivisions have a density of 4.4 units per acre. Number two, the project will be served or benefited by amenities that are on site. These amenities include a swimming pool, clubhouse, and tot lot. Three, the project is in a development district according to the Sussex County Comprehensive Land Use Plan. Four, the applicant has applied for and received permission to participate in the Sussex County's affordably priced rental unit program. The project site has been previously used as a burrow pit for sand and gravel. It was known as the Jackson Pit. Later, it was used as a permitted landfill for domestic trash. The removal and disposal of solid waste from the Jackson Pit has received brownfield certification and been qualified by DENREC for grant funding, although there is no guarantee of funding availability. Cleaning up the Jackson Pit will benefit the environment and provide for the health and safety of the inhabitants of the project and the surrounding area. With the stipulations placed upon this approval, there will be no adverse impact on neighboring or adjacent properties. This recommendation for approval is subject to the following conditions. A, the maximum number of residential units shall not exceed 96. This number is based on the MR density of 4.356 units per acre or 80 units with a density bonus of 20% or 16 more units in accordance with the affordably priced rental unit program. The removal, disposal, and monitoring of waste from the Jackson Pit located on the project site shall be in compliance with all DLDOT requirements. C, the all entrance, intersection, roadway, and multimodal improvements required by DLDOT shall be completed by the applicant in accordance with DLDOT's determination. The swimming pool and other amenities shall be constructed and open to use by residents within 1 year of issuance of the first building permit for the project. The project shall be served by Central Sewer as part of a Sussex County Sanitary Sewer District. The project shall be served by a public central water system providing adequate drinking water and fire protection as required by applicable regulations. Stormwater management and erosion and sediment control shall be constructed in accordance with applicable state and county requirements, and the project shall utilize best management practices to construct and maintain these features. The interior street design shall be in accordance with or exceed Sussex County street design requirements. Sidewalks shall be installed along both sides of all streets. The project shall submit as part of the site plan review a landscape plan showing the proposed tree and landscape design. Construction, site work, grading, and deliveries of construction materials, landscaping materials, and fill on, off, or to the property shall only occur between the hours of 7 a.m. and 6 p.m. Monday through Saturday. Road naming and addressing shall be subject to the approval of the Sussex County Mapping and Addressing Departments. The applicant shall cooperate with the local school district's transportation coordinator to establish school bus stop areas. The areas for school bus stops shall be shown on the final site plan. The applicant shall comply with all of the requirements of the Sussex County Affordability Priced Rental Unit Program, but participation in this program shall not exceed 30% of total residential units available. The location of the cemetery and the Native American burial grounds shall be determined in cooperation with the DSHPO, and it shall be delineated on the final site plan. There shall be a 40-foot landscape buffer from the delineated boundary of the cemetery and Native American burial grounds. The recreational area shall be relocated to a more centralized area of the project. Vinyl fencing shall be installed between this project and the adjacent Eagle Point development. The location and type of fencing shall be shown on the final site plan. And the final site plan for the development shall be subject to the review and approval of the Planning and Zoning Commission.
One question, I think, on your second condition, Mr. Johnson, I think you referred to the removal, disposal, and monitoring of waste from the Jackson Pit in accordance with DLDOT's.
DENREC. Thank you. DENREC.
Yeah, okay. Just want to make sure that's clear on the record.
I have a question, too. On your reference of fencing, you're talking about solid fencing or any type of fencing. It just said vinyl, so it could be a split rail.
Solid.
But in the end, you're talking about heights.
Right. I mean, I thought about the 6-foot-high vinyl fencing was what I was thinking, but
solid fencing. Yeah, okay.
So it should be, you want that make that part of that
6-foot vinyl,
6-foot solid.
And the idea there, gentlemen, was that there was a great deal of concern raised by the adjoining Eagle Point development about having all the residents of this apartment complex of trespassing and transgressing over their property. And I think that's one way of addressing that.
But the reason I ask that question is that the cemetery or the grave sites are actually that we're know where they are the grave sites that are on the Eagle Point project, which we already have a fence approved to be around that, but it's only doesn't have to be solid. And if there's more grave sites found to be on this site, then there's no interconnect between the grave sites, if they are contiguous to each other at all, then how would they get access without?
What raises two concerns? That raises two.
A separate access to get to those grave sites.
Well, that raised that. That was part of the issue I struggled with. One of the issues was if we put up a similar type fencing, which is a chain link fence, I think about 3.5 to 4 feet in height, then that would perhaps result in people trespassing and trampling on grave sites getting to Highway 1. So, I mean, I'd like to maintain that continuity of that type of burial site. I don't know that chain link fence would provide that safeguard for those grave sites, let alone, but I don't know how to address that.
Well, ultimately in the motion, I think it gives the applicant some flexibility because the location and type of fencing has to come back with what you said on the final site plan.
So the site plan has got to come back, and that's okay. It's really their problem to work out. I mean, and if it's not worked out to our satisfaction, we can kick it back.
Right. Well, they'd also have to locate the grave sites first.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
And then stay 40 feet away from them.
Well, it's a condition. If the condition was approved and it comes back to us as a site plan and there's something different, the commission has the right to alter it since they created that condition. So you may have to tweak that one issue. So it would be, that's fine.
We're good. I think we're good on that.
I think we're good on that one.
Mm-hmm. Is there a second at this time, or would we like to have a little more discussion on the number? Okay, I'm not hearing a second, so I guess we're going to chit-chat a little bit more. Anyone? Well, I'll tell you what. I'll at least get the discussion started to to say that in view of the fact that there's a brownfields consideration that we absolutely want to get cleaned up, I think it's reasonable for there to be some incentive to do that. Also to provide this type of housing. I'd be in favor of no more than 160, which is about halfway between, coincidentally, it's about halfway between 96 and 216, but I wouldn't want to see any more, and I'd be willing to listen to, I certainly will listen to any other suggestions anyone has.
160 is the number that I could live with.
I concur with the chairman, and one of the issues that Mr. Johnson mentioned about 30 minutes ago, I guess, was the pipe stem leading to this property and its isolation. I played around with the number that if we took out the acreage that was dedicated to that entryway from the overall mass acreage of the project, came up with a number similar to what you gentlemen have concurred on.
I also think with some of the other limitations we've placed on them, they may not be able to get that many units on there. If you're relocating the amenities and so on and keeping the right kind of buffer in, we don't really know what the extent of the burial grounds are. So, you know, I'm willing to listen if anybody's got a different idea.
Could we also expand on the setback at Eagles Point? I think the setbacks are 20 feet. And, you know, if we at least doubled the setback or maybe went 2.5 times the setback and made it 50 feet, that would give some additional, and made it a landscape buffer, that would give some additional insulation from the higher density and the residents at Eagles Point.
Mr. Johnson, was that a consideration of yours in your motion? Or?
I think he put 40.
Well, that was for the Indian.
That was for the Indian. That was for the cemetery and the Native American burial grounds.
With a conditional use, we can add to the minimum setbacks if we want to. We can't take them down less than that, but we can add to them, can't we?
I believe that's the same as what Eagle Point setback was around the cemetery of Eagle Point. Yeah.
Was it 40 feet?
Was it 40?
Yes.
Is that sound right, Gene?
Yes, it was 40.
On Eagle Point.
Right.
Yeah.
But your comment is to increase the setback across the whole
line.
The boundary for Eagles Point.
The boundary of Eagles, not and just the cemetery.
Yeah, just make it 50 feet.
I agree with that.
We reduce the density to 160. They've got more space to move things away from Eagles Point. Make sure it's landscaped so that we have some, you know, some shrubbery and stuff there. Go ahead and put a fence up. I think some of the public hearing asked for some separation so people wouldn't walk through their yards, and I think that's legitimate. And try to protect those concerns that were raised at the public hearing in that manner.
And you went to 50.
I think 50 is 2.5 times the required setback. It's just, you know, it's a number, 2.5. You know, it could be 60, it could be.
No, I just want to make sure I have your number down, that's all.
But yeah, I think 50 is reasonable, and if it's landscaped properly, well, you know, when that grows up and you put a fence to keep kids from running through people's yards and make sure that's maintained by the development and the management agreement, maintenance agreement, whatever, that at least gives some protection to the public there, the residents of Eagles Point.
Okay. Mr. Johnson is ciphering furiously here, so we're going to give him a minute. He looks like he's working on a solution.
No, I'm not looking. I don't know that I can come up with a solution. I was trying to come up with what does that translate into number of units per acre, and I think we're probably just a tad under nine units per acre is where we wind up with that number. Gentlemen, I've been told I'm not an unreasonable person, but I still have heartburn over that. So I guess you can call a motion. If there's not a second, then it dies.
Who's told you that?
What? How long have you been married?
So, Mr. Johnson,
how is that going to change?
my question for you is that you you would like to have your motion acted on as it was presented. Is that what you're telling me?
Yes.
Okay, so, all right.
So you won't accept that amendment to reflect a 50-foot landscape buffer?
Hey, landscape buffer is great. I have heartburn over the number.
The density. The number of units.
The number.
Okay.
Yep.
Well, I just wanted to make sure before we called for a second.
And Mr. Chairman, at the same time, I'm also reminded that whatever number we come up with is subject, that's a recommendation to council, and they can take my 96 and either concur or pitch it out the window and come up with their own magical number too. So
go the other way just as easily.
Yes, they could.
Yep. Okay. Well,
if they even approve it.
Understand. Yeah, exactly. All right, gentlemen, there's a motion on the floor. Do we hear a second? All right. Well, sir, I'm afraid your motion dies for lack of a second.
I tried.
Is there another motion?
I have a motion, Mr. Chairman.
All right, sir.
Mr. Chairman, I move we recommend approval of CU 1845 for Rick Banning for multifamily rental apartments based upon the record made at the public hearing and for the following reasons. One, the property is in an area where commercial uses and other residential development has occurred, including townhouse, multifamily, and single-family developments. The project is consistent with those developments and will provide a transition between the C1 and commercial uses along Route 1 and the Plantations Road area. Two, the project will be served or benefited by amenities that are on site. These amenities include a swimming pool, clubhouse, and tot lot. Three, the project is in a development district according to the Sussex County Comprehensive Land Use Plan. Four, the applicant has applied for and received permission to participate in Sussex County's affordable price rental unit program. Five, the project site has been previously used as a borrow pit for sand and gravel. It was known as the Jackson Pit. Later, it was used as a permitted landfill for domestic trash. The removal and disposal of solid waste from the Jackson Pit site has received brandfill certification, been qualified by DENREC for grant funding. Cleaning up the Jackson Pit will benefit the environment, provide for the health and safety of the inhabitants of the project and the surrounding area. Six, with the stipulations placed upon this approval, there will be no adverse impact on neighboring or adjacent properties. Seven, this recommendation for approval is subject to the following conditions. A, the maximum number of residential units shall not exceed 160. B, the removal, disposal, and monitoring of waste from the Jackson Pit located on the project site shall be in compliance with all DENREC requirements. C, all entrance, intersection, roadway, and multimodal improvements required by DLDOT shall be completed by the applicant in accordance with DLDOT's determination. D, the swimming pool shall be constructed and open to use by residents with 1 year of issuance of the first building permit for the project. E, the project shall be served by Central Sewer as part of Sussex County Sanitary Sewer District. F, the project shall be served by a public central water system providing adequate drinking water and fire protection as required by applicable regulations. G, the stormwater management and erosion sediment control shall be constructed in accordance with applicable state and county requirements, and the project shall utilize best management practices to construct and maintain these fixtures. H, the interior street design shall be in accordance with or exceed Sussex County street design requirements. Sidewalks shall be installed along at least on both sides of all streets. I, the applicant shall submit as part of the site plan review a landscape plan showing the proposed tree, shrub, landscape design, and an architectural rendition. J, construction, site work, grading, and deliveries of construction materials, landscaping materials, fill on, off, or to the property shall only occur between the hours of 7 a.m. and 6 p.m. Monday through Saturday. K, road naming and addressing shall be subject to the approval of Sussex County Mapping and Addressing Departments. L, the applicant shall cooperate with the local school district's transportation manager to establish school bus stop areas. The areas for school bus stops shall be shown on the final site plan. M, the applicant shall comply with all of the requirements of the Sussex County Affordability Price Rental Unit Program, but participation in this program shall not exceed 30% of total residential units available and a minimum of 70% market price units. N, the location of the cemetery shall be determined in cooperation with the DSHPO, and it shall be delineated on the final site plan. There shall be a 40-foot landscape buffer from the delineated boundary of the cemetery. O, the recreation area shall either be relocated to the center of the project or there shall be speed bumps or similar traffic calming devices and signs located in the vicinity of it. P, 6-foot-high fencing shall be installed between this project and the adjacent Eagle Point development, and maintenance of it shall be included in the maintenance agreement. Final location and type of fencing shall be shown on the final site plan. Q, there shall be a 50-foot landscape buffer from the delineated boundary of Eagle Point development. R, the final site plan for the development shall be subject to the approval of the Planning and Zoning Commission.
Question.
Yes, sir.
Your condition L, dealing with coordinating with the school for school bus
stops, yes.
Would you consider adding that DART as well?
Yes.
Just to, if there are any plans to have DART, that there could be a DART bus stop as well?
Let the record show that at the end of the period at bus stop areas, and coordinate with DART.
Thank you.
Question, Mr. Chairman?
Yes, sir.
On condition O, about the recreation area,
mm-hmm.
Previously we talked about a centralized area, and this would certainly have an impact on the density or the how the project is laid out. Are you still amenable to being in the front where they're currently showing it, or?
After I heard your comments at the public hearing, Mike, that night I had a stop at the grocery store here on the highway. My wife asked me to pick up a loaf of bread while I was coming to the meeting, and I noticed the foot traffic out in front of the grocery store there and all those stores, and of course they had speed bumps. There was little old ladies and, you know, walkers and stuff, and I thought that might be a good option, and then when we get the preliminary site plan approval, we can see what they've done with that. So I try to incorporate both, the option to move it, and I think that's a good idea. I'm hopeful that maybe that's what they'll do. But in the case that reconfiguring the buildings might make it more aesthetically pleasing to the area, then the other option of having speed bumps and signs would also work for the safety of anybody walking through there.
Thank you.
I'll second that motion.
Okay. All right, it's been moved and seconded to recommend approval of change of conditional use number 1845, Rick Banning, for the reasons and with the stipulations stated. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Nay.
Okay, gentlemen, let the record show that the motion carried 4-1. Thank you all for your patience and your candor with your comments on that motion. Our next item is